Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 10th of the 11th month, 2025. It is a Monday evening and the time is 4 minutes past the hour of 9. Ladies and gentlemen, you see how we have addressed every elephant in the room on this show. I think we have addressed so many elephants. We have dealt with every single nook and cranny. We have dealt with every single conversation that is there under the sun. We have basically dealt with a lot of conversations here over the years, you know, 4 years, and we are still growing strong. But I think that one thing that we haven't really focused on is mental health in children. That one. You know how we've talked about our traumas. We've talked about the hierarchy of needs. We've talked about our joys. We've talked about our ups and our downs, our addictions, our lack thereof. We've talked about loved ones. We've talked about triggers. We've talked about so many conversations. We've spoken about what it is to be a good parent, because we assume that everything is most about us here, because this is our platform. This is our thing. Eh? It is ours. It's for us. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. A little fat here and there, but fantastic. You?
I'm okay.
Okay. Are you slender? Are you slender or sexy and stuff? Because Mina, like, no. Hey. I saw a post today on the grams that said that it's this woman, she was talking about her weight loss journey and whatnot. And she's like 21 and in the best shape of my life. And then, she shows a picture. 21. Huh?
21.
Eh? 21 in the best shape of her life. And then after that, she had kids, you know. She didn't know, tell us when she had kids, like 23, I had kids, 27, I had kids. She didn't tell us, but she said 21. She looked like for a picture of her at 21, slender, you know, C-cup breasts or what, you know, nice. And then she shows us another picture of after I had kids and I let myself go. It was just a potato of a woman, but she was very beautiful. Potato of a woman, you know, and then she shows us another video, and now she shows us a video of her working out and losing the weight, and then what she looks like now. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, I was not motivated at all in my life. I was not motivated at all. Shasho kilometer another vendor, man. Like how many kids? I think it was 5 or something. 5 kids, and also she is like chasing 50 now. 21 to 50, guys. Hi. No, hi. Because I don't feel like it is fair, right? For her to compare, 21 year old her and 50 year old her. Like, no.
Yeah, she was supposed to start in her 30s.
Yeah, no, she was supposed to start in her 30s or towards, like, yeah, in her 30s when the kids are a bit bigger. But it's not really about where she started. I think it's just, people not wanting to be accepting of, different stages require different body shapes. You can't be a toddler mom of 4 toddlers, eh? And you still have time to go to the gym. But to be honest, at 45, you have time to go to the gym, because that toddler, eh? The one that you had when you were 21, right? That toddler is now how old? That toddler is going to university.
Yeah,
everybody knows how to make lunch boxes. Everybody knows how to drive here. Eh? You have time on your hands.
Now.
You have a lot of time on your hands. And I was like, no, this is just self-criticism. This is not self-love here. This is self-criticism about being a present mother. How? Now she's got time, guys. The 40s and the 50s are nice. Do you know how nice those things are? They are very nice. You know Connie Ferguson, ne?
Connie what?
Connie Ferguson, the lady from Generations. Connie Ferguson will never age. You know why she will never age? Because all of her kids are above 18.
Huh.
How? Well, she has a full-time empire to run, eh? She doesn't have money troubles. Yeah, and all the kids are gone. So she's not worried about people like Taya, no, no, nyara, dino chocolate, Taya, kwatuma kumbatha kwa matokero shivya. Like, no, that's not a concern in her life. So now as we want to judge ourselves, which are, we have toddlers. Yeah. No, guys. Like, you're already always tired. When are you going to get time? For those that can do it, ne? I applaud them. I'm like, wow, that's great. Good for you. But.
So sometimes it's also good to give birth at a tender age.
Look at you. Yeah. If you want to play, if you want to mess up your money.
For me, no.
No, in the long run, to be honest with you, and putting my bias aside and putting my opinion aside, to be honest with you, yes, it's better to have your children in your 20s. Yeah. It's better to have your children in your 20s because in your 20s, your body bounces back immediately. It bounces back. Like, you should see how I was after 2 years of giving birth to Elu and how I am with Michaela's 2 years in my 30s. Michaela's mom is just as fat as Michaela, my dear. Me and Michaela, we are just eating our food, my dear. But Elu's mom was trying and, you know, she was trying, gangane. It's true because Elu's mom and Michaela's mom, two different people. Elu's mother was very self-conscious.
But now, because now you have Michaela, but now, mom, you are done. Me?
I have maybe one more, but I think I'm reconsidering it. Like, I thought I had one more in my life.
No, just, yeah, done. For me, I feel like, just finish. Because look, mom, picture.
But the father only has one child.
It's fine, nah?
It's not fine.
Tara.
It's not fine. Michaela has too, if she's alone, she will have too much responsibility. If she's alone there by the father, she will have too much responsibility. Me, I'm fine. Me, I have two. No, so I'm thinking about it, but in all honesty, I think it's just because of triple level on Bwine with Michaela. Oh, like, yay.
And imagine,
Michaela is always crying, guys. Screaming.
See, and look, you became pregnant. You are still going back to square one, mom.
It's not like I started working on my body or anything. It's not like I'm going to lose anything. It's not like my body went into formation. Nothing happened.
So you're just fine. Not even working.
We're just out here, my dear. Oh, my goodness, stretch marks. It is what it is, sis. It's nothing that happened here, Gucha. Like, oh my goodness. Like, oh, I'm gonna lose my nice flat stomach. There's no flat stomach here.
I don't think it's even a flex anymore. Do you have a flat tummy?
It's a flex. Me, I want a flat stomach. I want a belly ring.
What?
To each their own, everybody with their own wishes, sister. Me and my belly ring. Me and a belly ring. And you can't achieve that with a big stomach. So, sister. I want a belly ring.
I want to go to a gym again.
I want a belly ring. And, you know, I want to wear booty shorts. With a long cardigan.
But the thing, you can still achieve that at that age.
It can be achievable. Everybody can achieve it. The problem here that we are facing is how much discipline does Auntie have? Zero. Zero. And also, I'm not with a person that can help me. Kandilinongkwafi. No. Kandilongkwafi, guy. Guy, kandilongkwafi. at all. He's the one that is making the breakfast in bed. Just eat. Just eat. You are hungry, Moss. Do you want more potatoes? I'm just here alone, sister.
Okay. But, you know, when I always look at my mom, she's in her mid-40s.
Yeah. Right?
And then how old am I? I'm in my early 20s. How old is my younger sibling? Because you're only two.
Mm.
In 19 years old. So that implies that I was, me, I was 2003, him was 2006. So mm-hmm. there's only a gap of 2 years between us.
2006 now, and 2003. Oh, okay.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So now I look at my mom. She's not that really chubby. So I look at her. I observe her. Ne? I feel like her body went back together. Like, together, okay, with a flat tummy, even if I'm with her, it's like I'm with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a day that I asked her, but mom, me, look, I'm finishing school now.
But she's and still then, not maybe married, by the time, even with her flat stomach.
Why don't you just try again? I know that you got this, me. Just try again, at least. You're going to take care of a kid, me.
Oh.
Then she feels like, I feel like
she wants a child again.
And I want a child.
You want her to have a child?
Yes.
You want to ruin her flat stomach?
No.
Like
no,
children are the enemy of progress.
No, just for us.
For you who? You have your own uterus. Ah. You want people to be your surrogate parents here? No.
It's not like that, but okay, myself, I'm in a koraka. My bones are not yet ready.
No. Let your mom just settle down, get her habibi and enjoy her life. Oh.
I always think about it. Because my mom gave birth to me when, this time, like 22, my brother 20, my brother 20. 2023. She had all the her 20s, mid-20s, late-20s, early 30s. Now she's in her mid-40s, bruh.
Oh, well, she must enjoy. Like, I know. But if she wants to, then she can. Because then,
yes.
Like, then your younger brother or sister will call you what? Auntie sister.
We'll call you what? No, auntie sister. I'm just a sister, Mos.
You can't. Sorry.
Why
the gap is too long. The gap is too big. Like, how can you be calling your, like, literally, like, you are 22 years apart.
Uh-huh.
You are not gonna, when you go and pick her up, nobody will ever say it's your small sister. Everybody will say it's your child.
From another mother.
Not from another mother. Everybody will keep saying it's your child. Everybody will keep saying you deny kids. Yes. There's no way. Nobody is going to tell you, that child is your baby sister. What? No. No. So tonight we are talking about mental disorders in children.
In children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you have worked at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your psychiatric. Tell us about your experiences with the small children.
You know, sometimes it sounds funny.
Why does it sound funny? Nothing sounds funny here.
The reality of someone.
Yeah, but nothing sounds funny here. Like, it's only you that finds it funny. We chose.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Let me hold my breath a bit.
Yeah. So tell me about it.
My experience with children with mental illness, ne?
Mm.
My experience with children with mental illness. It's so sad.
Mm.
Although it's a reality. So the cause of mental illness sometimes is unknown.
Mm.
And sometimes it's known. Mm. It can also happen to me. It can also happen to you.
Yes.
Because I'm not a kid anymore.
Mm.
No, you know what I'm thinking, mommy.
What are you thinking? What happened? Tell us the story.
No, I'm thinking of, I remember when I was in psychiatric, ne?
Mm.
There's this what we call most catatonia, whereby there's a disturbance in psychomotor. So now you find those patients where.
What is catatonia, my dear? Hey, to school utare, school us. Catatonia.
Mom, really?
School us.
Okay. No, catatonia most is just a disturbance in psychomotor.
Mm-hmm.
So you mostly have different types of catatonia, whereby we have catatonia excitement, catatonia rigidity, catatonia stupor.
Mm.
So you find most of those patients, especially catatonic rigidity, those patients whereby a patient may hold a rigid posture for hours and resist effort to be moved. Me.
Okay.
So when you ask me about my experience with mental illness, that pops up. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so I don't know how to say this.
I know we hear you, but you can tell us.
Okay. Okay. No, let me call you back while I'm summarizing.
Okay, but what happened? Did a child come in?
Did what?
A child come in, like, with
no,
Ida.
There was a kid, 14 years old.
Yeah.
Me. At first, when I saw the kid, I thought I'm turning Ida or something. Because me, I was not aware.
Mm.
But that kid was standing straight, and then, like a kangaroo almost, me.
Yeah.
Just looking at that position for like hours, and then I'm trying to move, then I'm trying to stand in thingy. Ah, no movement, but the person is breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, can I just call you back, mom, while I'm summarizing, please? I promise I'm gonna call you back.
Why were you going to summarize? Because the story, okay, but you spoke something about it's heartbreaking. So now what I want you to take it from, let's not really talk about our patients, but let's take it from the perspective of the parents. What have you seen? What have been the mistakes that you see with the parents?
The mistake that I've seen with the parents, is that parents, when a kid, because with mental illness, sometimes almost it's genetic.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not genetic, but sometimes a kid, it's being brought by, for example, a kid is at home.
Yeah.
The kid is going through a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents sometimes fail to notice that my child is not okay.
Yeah.
And then which leads now to mental illness.
Mm.
So I'm not really blaming the parent, but most of the human being, I'm not really blaming the parent, but I just feel like sometimes parents really fail to see us as children.
Yeah.
Which I know, this is not how I know Aina.
Mm.
She has been acting weird lately.
Mm.
Or maybe just notice anything. You know your child better, right?
But why do you think they fail to notice the sudden behavioral changes?
They fail to notice the sudden behavioral changes because sometimes we have absent parents.
Mm-hmm.
Although the parent is at home.
Yeah, they are absent.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And at times it's also due to lack of communication. I, as a child, I feel like I'm growing. I'm a puberty, Shere. I'm growing. And I feel like, no, why would I tell my mom? Why would I do this? Because at the end of the day, I feel like my parents will end up judging me.
Yes.
And it can also be, of stigma, because it also applies both most genders. And also of, maybe it can also be of,
Peto, may I share? I love it and I'm proud of you.
It can also be of, at times parents, let me take it from a kid. At times, as children, we have this tendency of lying to our parents that, no, mom, we have this tendency of lying to our parents. When we know that we take in certain substances in our body, Mara, sometimes a parent is noticing that this is not how I have known you since some couple of months you have this change. And then I don't want to talk about it. Because I feel like my parents he or she just doesn't understand life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be put on that pedestal. Some, you know, sometimes it was our blood. And this is the most important thing.
Yes.
You're taking certain things,
It's
gonna be you alone.
Yeah.
So the same way as Omazimo Mo's family, whether you are told that, no, as we don't do witchcraft, you are going to be in that corner.
It's just the same way as your friend is drinking all the time, but your friend is perfectly fine. Marakanti, your blood, it has low tolerance to alcohol. And then you go and take it in, it just flips you out.
Flips you out, and then you'll be like, so it can also be the cause of mental illness. There are a lot of causes of mental illness, but in all honesty, mental illness causes is unknown, but there are certain things that triggers us to go through mental illness. Life itself,
some issues,
the way our parents are with us, because I believe that some, we have absent parents, although we are living with our parents, but our parents are just absent in our lives. We are just greeting each other, but us just speaking, sitting down and just laugh out, it's just not there.
Yeah.
Not there.
And then every time you are with your parent is just complaining about all the things that you didn't do and all the things that you suck at and all the things that you are a failure at. And they never really give you that grace period of let's just laugh. Let's just have a good time. Let's enjoy this series. Let's enjoy this, you know?
Or maybe this thing that also can cause mental illness is for example, I'm living with my mom. We are working together, and then my mom is not, okay, she's educated, but now she just didn't study further. So she comes home, she makes maybe a bow or something, and then she comes home, she found me studying, and then she just started speaking things such as, oh, Mona, when I was at work, this is what happened. But she, knowingly that I'm studying, and I'm going like pressure and just a lot is going on in my life, I cannot say, mom, shut up, because out of respect.
Yeah.
You understand? So at the end of the day, she starts telling you stories that are not even related to school. And then sometimes after she's done speaking, and then you'll be like, no, mom, I need this amount of money due to this and this and this.
And now, then she'll turn around and tell you that, but I just told you my problems now.
And imagine, and you'll be like, and then you are there saying, it's related to my school. But I told you that I don't have money. Can't it wait? So it has been going like that, renting with your mom for almost a couple of months. You feel like, no, my mom does not understand me. So come on, I'll be for period, Sherry. My mom does not understand me, my mom. And then at the end of the day, it affects you. It affects you. It starts with mental. It affects you mentally. Yeah. You are always stressed. You are always depressed. And, you know, with depression can also lead to bipolar. Yes. So there are just sort of causes of mental illness that I know, but I can really say that sometimes the cause of mental illness is unknown, because sometimes we inherit it within genetic.
Some mental health conditions are inherited and some are caused. Yes. And yes, some are just because of trauma. So there are so many causes to it. There's not a one glove fits all, like saying, kucha, okay, with HIV, it is infected blood, makes contact with non-infected blood. Then the non-infected blood becomes infected. It's not like that with mental, health crises. And I think that this conversation, I love this conversation with you, because I think that you have so much to say, and it's not necessarily just on a medical perspective, but also just on the things that you've seen and putting yourself inside the position, especially when you talked about failing to notice that your child is not okay. Right? And this failure to notice that your child is not okay is something that happens when your child withdraws, or when you have been absent, or when you are just never, ever, 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 ever there. Now let's talk about, hold the line for me, please.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Esira shisho, yotari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni ochisho. Patuchi ithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo unonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugopetameko ugena cha nupiakadhi nenge omafidakano gopama vira viro. Kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe. Osho otopewa unongo ukene una okwea kwa thera nukwea pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira. Omanga upia kadiboka inauru darara. Kuyerere o unji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na. E hangono maradura sano ododhina okurandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch and your girl, yours in health, Aina. So we are talking about mental health issues within our children. And the reason that I'm talking about this is I feel like we have spoken so much about ourselves as if we are the only ones that are going through mental health issues. And I think with the mental health issues that we go through, right?
Okay.
It's mainly because we are adult and we broadcast it. But when it comes to children, obviously we withhold a certain information and we just keep it to ourselves, yada, 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 and nobody really talks about it. Now, I would like for you to give us your two cents, ne, about how parents, handle it. Like, how are they doing? Like, from what you have seen. How are they doing? Like, yeah, from what you have seen, say now there's a parent that comes in and their child has what, or is doing what. What do you see within the parents? Like, how are they handling it? Because I would assume that this is very hard.
Yeah. What I've seen, especially with, outpatient, what I've seen with outpatient, especially with kids, because most of the children that I've seen that are mentally ill or mentally disturbed are just from the age of 10, the age of 14, 16, just somewhere there. I've only seen one which was 9 years old. Apparently, it was anger issue.
Yeah.
And anger led to that.
Yeah.
Never knew that anger can also cause that.
Yes, yes. So, anger issues in itself is also just a disorder in itself. Like it has its own element of things that you need to go to therapy for. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
No,
it's okay. just picture this, right? Picture you are a child. Okay. And this child was in particular was 9, right? Picture this. Mm-hmm. From the age of 7, right? You have now become aware of your environment and your childhood has basically been molded. Now you can see, you can observe, you can understand many things within your environment. Now your environment has always been violent.
Uh-huh.
It has always been violent. It has always been aggressive. Or you have a short temper. Right? You just have a natural short temper. Yeah, just a natural short temper. Or Shirin, like, I don't know. You have the sweetest mother, mara. Oh, hey, arambarambara. Right? There is a point, where you can even break someone. You beat them and then you break them or something like that. You're just so quick to anger. And it is a matter of not knowing how to control your emotions.
Oh.
So every time you are overwhelmed, right? Like nandotan popi nandotan, like even if you guys are arguing, normal people just argue. That's it. You just argue. And you just argue. And it just stays there. It just arguing. That's how normal people do it. Right? But with people with issues per se, because they don't know how to express themselves properly. And it seems as if you cannot understand them and you don't want to listen to them. Even if you guys are giving each other chances with a person that has anger issues, even if you guys are giving each other chances, kucha, you talk for 20 minutes, me I talk for 20 minutes, ne? It will still lead just to getting, with something, or it just has to be aggressive. It has to turn to violence to some degree.
And also with the jokes that we make. Okay.
No, but the jokes that we make, kehegumwe, to be honest, kehegumwe nawe. Like, I've noticed this. And this is where I'll stand. Kehegumwe muyuni nawe. Because me, I have met the most angriest people. Ne? Nde otavura kutukwara kontuwe. Like, wopontimawe, ne? And will do absolutely nothing. Nothing about it. Not get angry, nothing. Mara, you that's coming from there. Just you. Small, even if you just look at them. What KJ? Huh? Like, yeah, that one, ne? It's kehegumwe nawe. Like, everybody has their person that they are soft with. And everybody has their people that they are hard with or people that they hate. Just like with my older brother and I, ne? My older brother and I, we don't get along at all. Dere, like even if I say anything, be it correct, be it wrong, if I say anything, ne, I'm telling you, I can even be talking just about the air outside blowing. But my little sister, my youngest, ne? My younger sister can even insult him.
And he said nothing.
My dear, nothing.
Being held at your balls.
Okay. Nothing, my dear. Eh? Nothing. Nothing at all. He might even say she's right. you can say something to him and then he will not hear you. Mara, my younger sister can come and say the exact same thing that you said now and he'll be like, yeah, but you are right, ne? You're like, That is one thing that I know, that there are certain people that have temper issues with some people and there are people that have temper issues with certain other people. That now leads me to believe, right, that their anger is not necessarily a general thing, but it is directed to some people. Have you ever met a person that doesn't fight outside with strangers? Mara manja, okay, umu harara ronda.
Yes.
Hey.
I know them.
Eh? My dear. Eh? Man, Zhao. Everybody in their house. Eh? Must sit standing. Eh? Everybody. There he comes. Eh? Have you ever seen a trolley door? Ne? You know this trolley door that you have at the back of your kitchen at your house? Have you ever seen a trolley door put in the inside of the house? Like, you know. People are suffering. I know people are suffering. You know, inside your room in the house, ne? There's your door and then there's a trolley door. Inside the house. Like, what is so dangerous inside the house that you have to lock yourself two times? Eh? Inside your room. You see that there are people that live like that because they are living with people with serious issues. Shai kugere mono, he will break down your door and even maybe injure you.
Yes. You know, I remember, you know, back then when I think grade 6, 7,
mm-hmm.
I had a family member.
Yeah.
Back then, I don't know, I had a family member because that's when I was just a kid and I just didn't understand anything. So
yeah.
Now when I'm learning, I always reflect back to my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a family member. She mm-hmm. was living with us. And then my grandma was like, no, that woman, she's not fine mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she not fine mentally? And she was like, oh, nice, now it's a certain disease. No. So that's why persist in this disease and so forth. So it really affected her mentally.
Yeah.
Now,
I can't hear you properly. You have to calm down now. So you were saying,
now,
yeah?
Mm-hmm. Now,
mm-hmm.
like around Komatang, we get she Komatang Wasikini.
Yeah.
She's even jumping. No. She's just aggressive and just like that. One day, what she did one day, now, mm-hmm. it's really, it's something else.
Mm.
One day she was cooking, she cooked. Ne? Like for me, I used to be afraid of even to eat food being cooked by her. Ne? because ne, she cooks, she's standing, and then she's looking at the pot, she rigs over for like, she's staring for like 30 minutes. Just imagine someone standing there just for 30 minutes. You don't know what's going on in her mind.
Yes.
Ne?
Mm.
Yes. Stop eating her food. One day she just stood. Mm. I know one day she was cooking, and then it was like early evening. The sun was going down, sunset.
Mm.
And then she stood outside. I observed her. I still remember. I observed her. She has been looking all the direction from the east, north, south, northeast. Little did I not know what is going on in her mind.
Mm.
Now, Kanjaone is from behind or a clinic, Karuno. I don't know those villages beside.
Yeah.
That's where she lives. Now, Bori, she's looking kuja. I don't know.
Hmm.
Now, mental illness is something else. Now, when we woke up, she's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is packed, everything is fine on the toya yarwa. Like, is this really mental illness or something else? Now, my grandma, later on, we received a call that no, okuripo polisi maro tatu mfaraneke umboka shao.
Yeah.
Kwa zani. Then my grandma from there, kama nakucha, ay, teamwe muke, teamwe mate, teamwe. So fun. And then, now when I looked at her today, I saw her a month ago. I looked at her, observed her very well. She says fine. I think you're just a person that was in disbelief, but the problem is, it will never change.
Mm.
And then I looked at her and then she offered me a drink. Now I just started to I just started recording things whereby she was really not okay mentally, and I used to refuse her food because I was afraid maybe she would do something or maybe she would beat me. I was just that type of a person. Now I understand things now.
So you just ate. So and that is the stigma that we are all afraid of, right? That is the annoying.
No, I was. If only we can share mind of maybe certain minds.
The way your mind is going, I don't like this. I think it's maybe because of all the stories that are there. There are many.
I'm trying to imagine things. So let me answer the other question about how parents are coping with their kids. It's really sad, although it's someone's reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes with mental illness, sometimes you can say that because it has no cure mostly. And also one thing that I've also
It's not that it doesn't have a cure. It's not that it doesn't have a cure. It's just, it's so, we have put it under one umbrella. And I think that that is the umbrella that has caused so much damage because we assume that it has no cure. Mara, sometimes, right, you can just be overwhelmed and overstimulated and then you just lose it, you know, but it doesn't mean that it's permanent, but hold the line.
E filosisho o talikulandula kona avewa yuka. E kwashili palekolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. O atupateleko mesho kwashili palekolo asfika mafio pedola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi yoshe tukeshe kuyanja o makwafo unamiti enashane filosisho lopa ulumo mumbu. Kwa avoveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layashi. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule o minute disyonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na o manga ino ya moruendo. Ponjeo Shilong, emango no malandula fano o dodino kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Aina. And I was saying that it's not really about a cure because, when we talk about mental health crisis or mental health disorders or mental health illnesses, right? We have to understand that it is a broad spectrum. It's like us saying physical ailments. You understand? It's like us saying physical ailments. Now, what would physical ailments be? Everything that happens to your body physically. Now, which disease happens to your body physically? There are so many. And it doesn't mean that there are certain things that are not curable. There are certain things that are triggered by. There are certain things that are genetic. There are certain things that are irreversible. There are things that are reversible. The spectrum is so big. So when we say that it's not curable, I think that statement in itself is misleading and it's also very frightening. So we are not going to go with that one. It is just that, it is an experience. It is an experience that we as human beings, like some of us experience it and some of us don't experience it. And I bet you right now, if you had to go to psychiatric, right, and then you ask them to do an evaluation on you, they would find something wrong.
Yes, that is why, you know what, I believe, because ever since I started understanding mental better, I believe, that is one thing that I believe, 9 out of 10. For maybe 10 out of 10, that all of us,
my dear.
Yeah, we are mentally ill.
All of us. Yes.
The reason why I'm saying so.
That is the most correctest thing that you said today. Correctest.
There's a time whereby how I reacted to a second letter so badly, and I realized, am I really fine mentally?
You related that?
Reacted to a certain
thing. Oh, you reacted that.
Like it was not me, like I've just lost the Aina that I know. But then I realized that, no, am I really, I even mentioned about my mental health, am I really mentally ill or is this maybe a reaction? No. 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, we are both mentally ill. It's just that we are just not in an environment that triggers us. But if we were like that, we are all mentally ill. We are all crazy. We can all go crazy. But with parents, they are really trying.
Yeah.
They are really trying. And it's so hard for them. And it's so sad. You find certain parents that are trying with their kids. They come there for follow-up. some are really taking them through rehab and so forth. But you find certain parents, or maybe a person that is coming by herself or maybe by himself, in as much as young as the person is, you ask, where is your mom? Or maybe, where are your parents? They are at home, or maybe they are at work. She says, maybe they, I don't know if they abandoned the child or what. I really don't know. Or because the kid is diagnosed with that. Or maybe the kid is going through that. So some parents are really trying, and some are 1 out of 10, 4 out of 10. So
but if I'm going why do you think that they are not trying? The ones that are not trying are not trying. Why do you think that?
What I think is some parents are still in disbelief with the reality.
Okay.
And some of them, they feel like
turning it away.
Yeah. Oh, and have a connection. So, Mara, how do I put it? Yeah, my sherry. Some of them, Sherry, some of them is because of transport. But Yamene, even though disbelieve in with reality, but you can just most accept the situation because we are human being and drink coffee for that most.
That's why we are talking about it. That's why we're talking about it today. Shashino, how easy is it to accept?
It's not easy.
So for someone to say just accept, sister Aina, just accept, man. He's having schizophrenia, just accept. Yeah.
What are you
doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? And then episode just started, or maybe anything triggers that person. What are you doing? Speaking iporoporo, those things. At the end of the day, you feel like you end up to treating okana na ishiri so badly to tikusha no kana kata kani groina ningi ngao, and it will just add more. Timbarimwe, you don't understand mental illness. You're not even taking you stop okana kaka. Timbarimwe, those mental illnesses, they are serious. Amara ne, we have mental ill people. I know that I'm mentally ill, but I'm doing something for my life. As long as I'm on treatment. And sometimes on this day, they go carera. To come and get to Binongo Maraka Gafa. No, or to happen in me. Gotta put in a month. Guys. Now, I can't continue with school. You are holding me down.
Oh, ho.
I know that I'm mentally ill. I understand. The transition, I understand everything. And then maybe they are being told that, no, just come for follow-up. It's not that serious, but if you come for follow-up every here and then, I believe that. Because we always try to give people a positive hope.
And
I
it's not just positive hope, it's the truth.
Yes,
you know,
I believe.
If you keep on with your treatment, you can live a normal life.
Yes. As long as you are coming for your treatment and stay away from things that triggers you, the same way we talk as magic patients, stay away from those things. And then you'll believe that, no, in as much as I, as young as I am, I believe in myself that one day I'm going to do something for my life. And then now there is your mom, a whole lecturer or a whole person that is working, doing well in life, doesn't want you to get you through school. Even with disability, just to know something. Because at the end of the day, and it's so sad. I remember for a guy, it's so sad because there was in psychiatric, everyone is just, Mr. President, the mayor.
Everybody is having status. I'm a Russian spy. I work for Vladimir Putin. Yes.
God, I can't resist
it. I know everybody is psychiatric. It's just up. Kayohore, oh, but did you pevi?
Aye.
Kucha, I'm a cleaner. No.
And one thing that, and some people that, sure, our generation, and sometimes it's, okay,
It's maybe because you went there.
No.
I know, I'm saying you've worked there, you see a lot. Yes. And now you're just... now you're just laughing about your things that you experience.
It's really a big thing, eh? Mm. It's really a big thing, but it's just the reality of us. Mm. So if you just take care of our mental health, if you are mentally fine, we are not mentally ill, then you just take care of our mental sanity. The matriarch is fine mentally. Mm. I'll be really in this belief because you are one of the person that you address certain things.
Hey, Mara, no! That is exactly the type of perception that I wouldn't want you to have. And that's why I talk about my things as well. You know, I talk about my depressions. I talk about my anxieties. I talk about them because, right? It's not making me feel better. It is so that other people also understand, kucha, these things are just, I can just be awesome and phenomenal and just have an anxiety disorder. I can be awesome and phenomenal, and I can also just have I can also just be depressed. Because people assume things like depression looks like this, but it doesn't. That is why you can find somebody that is upbeat today and kill themselves tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the stigma that, and the stigma that we must move away from. These are the things that we have to move away from because many of us are in denial that our children have problems. You know, one of the issues that has been there was one of our relatives, right? This child was taken to the best of the best, the creme de la creme, the doctor that talks about, that talks through trauma, but he does talk therapy, right? And obviously the world has changed and etc. But he was taken to Whittaker and he was diagnosed with, dyslexia, which is now a reading disorder, reading and writing disorder. So he reads and he writes different, completely different. He can read his writings, right? But you, the ordinary person, can't read it because he sees letters and numbers and stuff different, alphabet different, you understand? And this is now dyslexia. And R. Kelly also had it. Or has it, right? And, you know, we're not even saying pedophile stuff. We're saying just world-class genius kind of things with music and very talented. And then also on top of dyslexia, right, he had anger issues, like deep-rooted anger issues, like violence, you know? And this was something that he was diagnosed with when he was young. You know, when he was a child, like we're talking 12 years old, we're talking 11, 12, 13, 14, somewhere around there. And it was just hushed down like nothing. It was just watered down like nothing. He was not taken to a special school so that it can, you know, open his mind. He was not taken to any extramural activities that can work on his anger. There was nothing. He just got his diagnosis and that's it.
That is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was it. And then it's sort of like the family kind of just pretended like it didn't happen. And then, like right now, as an adult, he is struggling. Struggling. Academically, he didn't get anywhere. And I feel like these are opportunities that could have been given to him, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And we all just want to hush things down because mainly sometimes we don't understand what things are, but we also don't do our research.
We don't do our research.
We don't want to get in tune. And I also understand, like, from a parental perspective, to be honest, from a parental perspective, it is a very difficult thing to accept that your child is like that. Very difficult to accept that your child is different and your child is struggling. But I don't understand. And I think that it is, I'm blessed enough to have a broader mind towards it. So I think that, my children are in luck to have me, because I would like for them to get opportunities. You know, not to just hash it down, but to really honestly just get opportunities. Kucha, no, these are our opportunities. This is, okay, so this is what's wrong and this is how we are going to fix it. And this is how we are going to work on it so that you can live up to the fullest of your potential.
Yeah.
You understand?
Because I've seen also people with mental illness that are used to working.
It's not a death sentence. Like, everybody has something wrong. Everybody. It's only that many people don't, if everybody had to go for a bipolar test, ne? You'd realize that 80% of our community is bipolar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is the most common one. And my psychologist even said that if we had to discriminate against people with bipolar, right? Then half of the world would not exist without their brilliance.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Nothing would exist without their brilliance, because the higher the high, the lower the low. And when they are on the high, my dear, anything can be achieved. I have a friend of mine, right? That has bipolar. She has bipolar and it's coupled with borderline personality disorder and multiple personality disorder. And yeah, that's the cocktail, right? But I am telling you, the best songwriter that you ever see, ne? Is her. IT technician is her. Hacker is her, eh? Like, argue, everything, she's a star. She taught herself how to do everything.
On her own.
Everything on her own. You must see her portfolio. Her portfolio is so big that it's 5 files. While she's doing this degree, she's going to do another degree and she's also doing a certificate all in 1 year.
Wow. That's really good.
You see? So she has all of that, but then also the lows, when the lows are there, ne? The lows are really there. She can stay in the room for 7 months. Sleeping.
I could only imagine.
I'm telling you. You can knock. You can break down the door. She just asks you, why are you breaking the door?
Yes, like
not going to work, not doing. Just imagine, she gets all these qualifications to get this brilliant job, right? And then she decides she's not going to this job, and it's not even decide. It is just, it's just what it is, you know. I'm telling you, the landlord can be knocking.
Or maybe you can knock, and then you enter. She's there sitting, and then she doesn't even notice you.
No, she's my dear. She's like, oh, you are here. How? What you mean I'm here? When last did you bath? I'm just so tired. You're like, ah, sister girl. Yeah? Sister girl. But when she's upbeat, my dear, yeah? When she's upbeat, you guys can stay up for 2 weeks.
Does she have children?
She has.
Hmm.
Yes.
With her bipolar, is it now... Type 1 or type 2?
I think it's the bigger one. The bigger one is type 2, Moss. Yeah, it's type 2.
Huh.
Yeah. Yes. It's the one, it's the chronic one where she's on medication. It has to be.
Yeah, we might have to come with episodes.
Yeah. Real episodes.
Life, mommy.
But yeah, she's also just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Oh, my dear psychiatric people, they're always brilliant.
I'm telling you. They're whole, like, you know, one, like,
And they are talented. Oh. It's a piano, ne? Shawadane, for example,
venga. Erimomud.
My dear.
Oh, netofuka. And this person has never seen a piano in their life, and they just start playing, and they are playing Beethoven.
Playing, and it's just going well.
Yes, and then they just play Beethoven.
comparing
with somebody that has that's mind is on Hixi, you know? And it's just like autism, for example. Like with autism, this person can take apart a whole entire computer. Yeah? Uh-huh. A whole entire computer, but he can't tie his shoes.
But he can't do it?
He can't tie his shoes, huh? Why are you laughing? And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of life, you know? That's the beauty of life. Which I like, wow. A whole entire computer, my dear. Like, oh, this is the motherboard. This is the what. And this is even the little wires, they know them. Everything. They've never been to an IT school, whatever. They just understand the computer. They can rebuild you the computer. Take it apart, put it back together. But can't tie their shoes. Otherwise, the whole day. The rabbit goes around the Oshijai. Shijai.
That is beautiful. We appreciate life every day.
Me also, my dear.
Metal.
And that is why, like even when you, like, have you noticed that everybody at psychiatric is happy?
Ending now, mom.
Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings, where we are addressing the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is our children with disorders. Our children that are going through mental crises. Our children that are diagnosed with a mental condition, mental health conditions. We are talking about that because we've spoken about ourselves, right? And we've addressed basically everything about ourselves. Now we're diving into the element of children, and we're talking to one of my kids, and we're talking about her experiences and what she has seen. I won't tell you what she does, but by now you guys should know. But do call back, Aidna, so we can continue the conversation. But we were talking about mental health crises, and then today we also learned about catatonia. Hey, we learned about catatonia, okay? A medical condition, a medical syndrome that affects a person's movement, speech, and behavior. So, ladies and gentlemen, how will we know if our children are having a mental crisis or a mental disorder of some kind? Let's talk about it. So part of the conversation that we had this evening was that some mental illnesses or some mental disorders are genetic, and some are caused by trauma, some are caused by experiences, some are also triggered, right? Triggered by certain things that they take in. And this is why I think that if we could have conversations with our children about, you know, shikwata shiropota. If we could have conversations with our children as to why exactly we wouldn't want them to participate in certain behavior. Many parents are only obsessed about sex. They're all just obsessed about sex. I don't see parents, not unless children are already drinking. Not unless now they start drinking and then the parents start talking. I don't see children trying to prevent, I don't see parents trying to prevent their children from becoming alcoholics. If anything, they give them the alcohol. Good evening.
Good evening, Madam Boss.
Good evening, Tate Buana. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing, man?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Yeah. Today we're talking about the babies.
Okay, sorry, how are you, baby?
I'm fine, thank you, Tate Buana. How are you?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, how's the evening?
Everything is fine.
Yeah, it's important that we can have a conversation with our children.
Yes.
And then so that we can really help out. So that, you know, most of the time, these things, some of these things, it's really because the way we take the children, is also harsh.
Mm.
It's also harsh.
Mm.
And, you know, I was some of the, I was at the Ministry of Journalism in Benin.
Yes.
And then the people were talking about, too.
Mm-hmm.
People were talking about, hey, so when the child did this, they need to cook a little bit of the put starch, and you feel the starch is not good.
Yeah.
When you come now, you shout at the child, hey! You understand?
Mm.
So but that stress now is from somewhere.
Mm.
Apparently, it's not, it might not be, the cause might not be from the mother only.
Mm.
So, the mother only.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the mother only.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's from the just the harshness.
Mm.
The harshness.
Yeah.
So it's very important that women, apparently mother.
Yeah. I can't hear you properly, Tate Buena. I think the network is cutting just a little. I think the network is... Ooh.
Okay, let me call
you. I can hear you now. Oh, sure. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So we're talking about mental disorders or mental health crises within children and how we as parents are dealing with that, right? We're dealing with that and what could be the cause. And right now, as our introduction, conversation, right? We are dealing with this from the perspective of a layman's terms, right? We're dealing with it from a layman's perspective. We're dealing with it from an onlooker, an outsider, an internal. We are looking at it from the primitive perspective. We're not looking at it from the deeper angle. We're looking at it from the holistic point of view so that you that's in the village can understand, me that's in the office can understand. We are looking at it from that perspective. Now we are putting all our assumptions in one basket. We are putting all our knowledge and all our experiences and all everything. We are putting everything into one basket and we are nitpicking through it to see what aligns with what the experts say. What aligns with what is really happening on the ground? Because we do have an idea of what is happening. We have experienced it to some degree. We do know what is happening. You know, we all look at the neighbor child, right? The neighbor child that has episodes, right? We all look at the neighbor child like with sympathy and with empathy towards their family and so forth, right? We do look at it from that perspective. But what exactly is happening? So now we've said that it, sometimes it's genetic, sometimes it's trauma, sometimes it's environment, and sometimes it's caused by peer pressure in terms of what we are taking in, and sometimes our children are the little devils that we think they are, and they're the ones that are influencing other people's children to take a little bit of something, take a little bit of narcotics, take a little bit of alcohol, take a little bit of weed, smoke a cigarette. You wouldn't believe, I almost read myself out, you wouldn't believe who taught me how to smoke cigarettes. It was my friend's older brother that taught me how to smoke cigarettes. And I'm like, wait, what? But anyhow, it was Stevenson. Mm. Peter Stevenson. Yeah. Just imagine, right? Yeah. So we are, one thing that I would like to address is that many of us are so concerned about sex. Did you hear that? I'm not sugarcoating it. Hmm? Did you hear? Many of us as parents, as adults, as peers, as siblings, as whatever, our guardians, we are so concerned about sex that sex is the only thing that we are safeguarding these children from. So now all of them are virgins in the mental hospital. All of them. Yeah. All of them have never done coitus, but they've done everything else. Why? Because we only advocate against coitus. We are only talking against coitus. Do you know that the likelihood of getting alcohol from either your mother's, from either your uncle or your aunt or your elder sibling or even your parents, right? first time is very high in an Oshiwambo household. You guys can come and fight with me. But I know that my first drink did not come from far. My first drink did not come from a lady at the cooker shop that said, come and drink. My first drink came from home. My first drink came from inside the house, to be honest. Now, it would be so wild to imagine that within my family right now, as we speak, we have at least 3 or 4 people, right, that suffered from alcohol-induced psychosis. Ah. Alcohol-induced psychosis, where it is audible. Basically, it's coupled with schizophrenia now, but it is all. It's not even genetic, yeah? Because some genes, we are born with them, and then they are just triggered, and then they are just brought to life. Some of the genes, we are born with them, and then they are just triggered, and they are brought to life. Some of them, they were meant to happen. It was inevitable. And sometimes, you just go and look for your own things. Sometimes, you overdo things so much, you get your own things. So it's not a Zimo, it's not what, it's just your own things. Sometimes your blood, right?
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So now that is wild, right? You're like, wait a minute. Yes. And then she turned out to be an alcoholic in her early 20s, right? In her early 20s, she just landed into alcoholism. And then luckily for her, she got out of it. But who gave me my first drink? Nobody warned us about alcohol. Nobody warned us about substances. Nobody warned us about cigarettes, tobacco. Nobody warned us about anything bad. All they warned us against was coitus. All they warned us against was sex. Only iparara ya tura komeho. To be honest, as if ipara is the only danger in this whole entire life that can most probably happen to you as a young girl or as a young boy. Otomitikuno na wantu. Otomitikwa. Everybody says, we na tukarote kurutina it pregnant. So no, 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 no. No. Omikisotansikoedisa. That is all. Everybody was advocating for STDs. Everybody was advocating against teenage pregnancy. Everybody was advocating against HIV. Everybody was advocating against sex. But nobody was advocating against substances. Do you know why we don't know so much about substances? Because nobody spoke about it. But we pretended that it was absolutely normal to have that drunk uncle at every party that shinduranto. Like it is absolutely normal. We pretend like it is absolutely fine to have the uncle that is there, tagarangata, and he can see people and soldiers coming after him when he has had one too many drinks. And we think that that is absolutely normal. And part of the scolding that happens at the hospital, right, is when did this start? No, it started 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you are only waiting up until now to bring the patient to the hospital, to bring the person to the hospital so that they can get help after their situation has declined tremendously. Many of us are only warned, especially we as children in black households, we are all told that we must study and go to school. If we are having sex, if we are having sex and we are fraternizing with boys, it will cut our education and we will get diseases and we will get children and then we will die. That's it. That's the only warning that we get as black children. I don't know now, outside the black race, I don't know. Right? Maybe you guys can come and tell me if you're out there. Come and tell me. The number in studio is 083-288-401. Come and tell me what happens in a colored household. Tell me what happens in an Afrikaans household, in a German household, in an Italian household. Come and tell me what happens in your child, in your household. Because in our households, right? And I speak for everybody. And if you don't like it, you must come with at least 5 examples of around your vicinity so that you can prove a point that all black households are not the same. Many of us, if we look at who gave us our first hit on everything, you got your first weed from your cousin. You started smoking weed from your cousin, like straight. If it wasn't from your cousin, it was from your cousin's friend, but it has to be somebody that's close, right? Because we don't take things from strangers. Isn't it? We started drinking because an uncle, our parent, a senior somebody told us that we must start drinking. And you know what the saying was, right? And this is where your blood is not the same on the Queen Adifathana. We are not the same comes in, right? Because this is the part that tells the weak and the meek from the strong and the courageous and the brave. This is the drawing board right here. Because you take your first drink and you knew that you were going to be hooked on this for life and you liked it. But the other one took the first drink and that was it. They knew that they're never going to drink again. And then the other one took their first drink and they're like, oh, this is nice. You know, when you guys are sitting at home and they chose how alcohol is going to affect their lives. And there's just some of us that were like, I like this thing. I like this thing. I'm even going to, inside this thing, I'm going to look for varieties of things that are going to become my favorites. Yeah, but where'd you get it? Everybody is advocating against sex. Everybody's advocating against teenage pregnancy. Everybody's advocating against HIV, which is all linked to sex, 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 sex. But nobody's talking about substances. Nobody is talking about going crazy when you go and smoke ganja. Nobody tells you that. Because everybody is telling you that it's absolutely normal because, you know, a weed is, you know, it's a natural plant from the earth. Jah Rastafari. Yes, it is. It is a natural plant from the earth. But is your dealer a natural guy? Because dealers are dipping your ganja, your marijuana, your kush into petrol, ne? And now you don't know why you're going crazy. Because you are smoking spiked weed. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. What's popping?
It's cool, man. Let's sell it.
That's my man.
Yeah.
What's your drug of choice?
Eh?
What's your drug of choice, bro?
One is Granada.
You see? I like your honesty.
Honesty.
I like your honesty. Shilly, shilly.
I'm going, I want to inherit the kingdom of God.
You want to inherit the kingdom of God? Is it just to inherit? Are you his child?
Yeah. Hell does not have my passion. My portion.
Okay, whatever the church told you. But this is not a church conversation anyway. So you can take your church talk somewhere else. Yeah, as we're talking real life issues here. So, children with mental disorders.
I was laughing. I was laughing one day, man. About the people, they have a different context on when it comes to mental illness. Some they think that people mental illness as people that are eating the dustbin.
Oh yeah. No. But the thing is that that's why I said it's like saying physical ailments. You know when you say cancer. Everybody's like, oh my goodness. But cancer also has its own varieties, bro. Eh?
Yeah.
There's a tumor on your spine. It has varieties. Like even TB has varieties.
Yeah, even COVID-19 was a variety.
Yeah, it has strengths, like, yes.
Beta variants. And
yes, it does, strengths.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we speak about mental illness, we have umbrellaed it so much that everybody is getting a pinch of the stigma. Small, small, just you enter the hospital like this, ne? Whoever is seeing you get off the taxi there, right? It's like,
It's like a supply chain, which is a group of business or partners.
My dear, most probably,
Yeah.
So when you think of mental disorders and mental health issues, what do you think of? What comes to your mind?
Mental disorder, when someone is not mental.
Let me ask you something before you answer.
Yeah.
Are you normal?
Yeah, I'm normal, yeah.
Who told you?
It's my perception.
Okay. So you don't really know. No, I'm just asking. So you don't really know, right?
Yeah, I convinced myself that I'm.
You convinced like who? Everything you're saying, man. Do you hear how it sounds out loud? It sounds like a crazy person talking. I convinced myself. Nobody told me that I'm normal. I just know in my heart that I'm normal. Yeah, but.
But when I'm laughing like this, people, they think that I'm otherwise.
but people think everybody is otherwise. And to be honest, everybody is otherwise. So that's the question.
Until they open up their mouth.
And then they start talking and then they also just sound crazy. You're like, okay, that's nice. Shashi, no, you auto check it. That's nice because you guys were talking about ribs. And then the person just comes in, eh, okambija, kangekeng yoka hello. You're like, oh, okambija. Okay. Yeah. So you think you're normal?
I think I'm normal. So okay. You say to him
so,
about
so what is the that, idea? What is your idea of normal?
Is when you are doing what is expected to in the society.
Okay.
You are living to the principle of the society.
Okay, so because how sure are you?
We are in the conformity.
Okay, you're conforming to societal norms and principles and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if the society in itself is being led by a madman and he has set up these principles, and now you guys are all mad and you guys are following these principles and you assume these principles to be correct because...
Yeah, that's why they say the law itself, it does not necessarily... That is right, because sometimes it's unethical.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm asking you
a straight question. Yeah. So what if you're in a society that is basically, it's a gang of crazy people that are doing the same thing. Because when you're at psychiatric, everybody is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just like the quote unquote and inverted commas and waka waka up here, the normal people outside here are also just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that you're normal?
But, it's a very simple question.
It's a very simple question indeed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't do crazy stuff.
What is crazy stuff?
Which is ending up questioning my actions.
What is crazy stuff?
Hmm?
What is crazy
things
stuff?
That are weird, like
such
in insulting, doing all the sorts of evil.
Okay, so crazy people are evil?
Yeah, they're evil, yeah.
Not really. Crazy people are harmless. They're just picking up most their things and walking in the streets most. So how are they evil? How are they evil? How are crazy people evil, sir?
Because they are disrupting, they are causing chaos.
How are they causing chaos?
Because they are not stable.
Okay, because they are not stable according to your standards. You that knows that you that doesn't know if you are sane.
No.
You are not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so you don't have merit in this
okay,
field.
Okay.
You, at all, you are like a zero here, eh?
Yeah.
in this field. If it was economy and business, and logistics and statutory and statistic, yes, there you have merit. Yeah. But here, zero merit. And then yet you are identifying somebody as a madman or as a crazy person. But yet you can't identify yourself as a crazy person. Have you ever gone to a checkup?
No.
Why not?
Hmm?
Why not? Okay, so there is a fear within you that you might not be normal.
Yeah, there's a stigma around it.
Okay, there's stigma around it, but I'm saying there's a fear inside you fear. That says that what if I go and find something that I'm not going to be happy about?
Yeah, what if that doctor is being paid or is being funded?
You see? Like, just think about it, right? Like, that is a propaganda that you just made up in your mind, which is absolutely crazy. Like, so a doctor out there is just waiting until the day that you decide that you're going to go for a mental checkup so that they can diagnose you with something because they are being paid by someone somewhere. Like, wow. Yeah. Just listen to what I'm saying and then you hear how crazy that sounds. Like, because you are who ne and dorane, are you the president? For us to just pay a complete stranger to doctor your results.
You may.
No, I'm just asking because these conversations are a necessity because many of us think we are so normal.
Yeah.
But I can point out things about you that are not normal. And it's not to say that there's a mental disorder. But there are things about you that are not normal. Yeah. But there are things that I take offense in because I'm not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody might take offense in the two of us because they are not normal. There's no such thing as normal.
Yeah, because, being abnormal maybe is when you say is when one finds themselves in the conflicting for ideas.
Conflicts of ideas.
Yeah.
Conflict of ideas.
Yeah, conflict of ideas. You don't know what to do.
But how many times don't you know what to do in your life?
Yeah, you are being conflicted. You don't know what to do. Which side you go? When a person is facing some cognition dissonant. Yeah. But we think we are normal, but maybe we are not normal.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, really? Is it really maybe? I don't think we're normal. At all. No.
So, okay. We are normal according to whose standards?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Normal according to whose standards? Yeah. What, who says that this is what normal looks like?
So, at what degrees? What is certain of percentage that is required to be, want to be normal?
Okay.
Okay, I want to pick your brain on that one.
Okay. No, pick it.
No, on that subject.
Hello, pick it. When you say I want to pick your brain on that, right?
Yeah.
Pick
yeah,
it.
And what is your input there?
My input on what?
Because this is a conversation, it's a two-way conversation.
Of course.
On that subject.
Not unless you're asking a question. So pick. When you say I want to pick your brain, you better be picking. Yeah. No, you can't just lather it up. No, you have to pick. Pick at my brain. Pick away. That's why I ask you questions. I pick at your brain because I want to see what's inside your brain and I pick. So pick away.
Maybe mine is
sir,
empty.
Pick. I'm here. You said you want to pick at my brain. Here I am. Pick at it. Because I told you, do not use terms that you don't fully understand. So what is picking?
You have, then you pick. More knowledge
then pick. On that subject. That's what I'm saying. Then pick.
Yeah.
Then pick. Start picking.
I say, what is your input on that?
On my subject? Input on what exactly?
On the subject on hand.
What is the subject on hand?
On this mental disorder in children.
What about mental disorders in children?
How do you understand it?
Mental disorders are the same in children and in adults and everybody else, adolescents. Everybody has some form of disorder. You have to be specific about what you're asking. So there has to be a specific interest that you're having. It can't be a holistic view because the show is a holistic view.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I thought today we
No. The show is a holistic view and you have to pick your area of interest so that you can find out about the area of interest. So what is your area of interest? To be specific.
The mental health or disorder on children.
Health crises. Mental health crises.
Yeah, crises. Yeah.
I'm calling them crisis because it's not to say that they are disorders. It's not to say that they are ailments. It's not to say that they are behaviors. It's not to say that they are patterns. It's an umbrella on the crisis that is happening there, right?
Yeah.
And whatever is under the umbrella of crisis, it could be diagnosed. It could be seen. It could be heard. It could be felt. It could be whatever, but it is under the crisis nonetheless, because this is something that we don't understand. Many of us don't understand it. And I believe that especially when it comes to children, I think it is very difficult for parents to fathom that their children are not normal. Yeah. I think that it is very difficult for parents to come to an accepting phase that their children are not like other children. But the problem with this saying of your children are not like other children, right? It is such a deep wound that you create for yourself and a very, very deep stigma that you create, and it's a very it's so wrong. It is so wrong, because then that limits your child. It limits your child so much because you are a non-believer.
Yeah.
Because you are not willing to understand that your child is not the same as other children.
They don't have the same intelligence than other
children. Mm-hmm. No, they're just not the same. But all children are actually not the same. Nobody is actually the same. None of us are the same. And I think that, especially when it comes to mental health stuff and children, right? One of the conversations that we as parents must start to have, especially about our children that are having challenges, right? Psyche challenges, right? Is that what is our experience of being the parent to this child teaching us?
What if the children inherit some DNA?
Yeah, but also that is one thing that about having conversations with you. You don't listen. You don't hear. What did I say?
Oh, you said what are our contribution?
No, that's not what I said.
Yeah. I'm a great listener.
No. That's how you view yourself. But that is far from the truth. That is a figment of your imagination, sir. That one. You are not a great listener. No, you are not a great listener. If anything, you are very far from being a great listener. So, yeah, you're not a great listener, because what did I say? Because if you heard what I said,
then you would have had something to say about it.
Oh, I'm learning out of English. I'm learning.
It's not running out of English. You just don't listen. You just don't listen. You just don't listen, and you look around a lot, and you are focused on so many things.
No.
Really?
I'm always be mindfulness. I always practice mindfulness.
It's not about mindfulness. It's just about listening and being present. Like what mindfulness?
Hmm?
What mindfulness would you be practicing here? You're just listening and being present. But the problem is that you are divided because you're also hearing the conversation that's in the background. And you're also participating. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're participating in one way or another because your mind is all over the place. I was talking about what we are supposed to be learning from being parents to these children. Because sometimes you have your child that has ADHD. That's just jumping all over the place. Your child can't focus. Your child is just, 1, 2, mommy, can I make some, mommy. That child will just teach you patience.
It's not that being too hyper.
It's called ADHD. Hyperactive. ADHD. Yeah. It used to be hyperactive in our years. But yeah. Now it has a new name, which is.
Okay.
Also, yeah. ADHD. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I'm learning today.
You should. You should learn. Yeah. Because you're also a special little carrot, aren't you?
No. Not fun in your program.
No, you've called in all the time. Come on. Once a week is fine.
So one day I meet my guy, Omulemba here.
He's light skinned. I never pictured him to be a light-skinned dude in my life. I always pictured him to be a dark-skinned guy. I always pictured him to be a dark-skinned guy. I say, hey, you're light-skinned. You're on that Drake color.
Yellow bone.
Yeah. So, Hamid, do you have children? Are you sure you're not lying? You must not lie about children.
Yeah, why?
Because just know that it must play out until the end. Your imagination must run all the way until the end. So if you are agreeing to having children here that you know are not present in your life, they are living somewhere, with an abandoned father figure.
Yeah.
That only that doesn't contribute to their lives. He's just there living in Walvis Bay, eating his money, and he never send money. It's just their single mother that's helping them. It's a very bad story. So please, if you don't have kids, don't wish that upon yourself yet. Just wait until yours come and you take care of them. You understand? So how would you think that if you were a parent and your child was having maybe some difficulties, you know, and you guys go to the hospital and then they were evaluated and then they were maybe evaluated for something that requires now medication to stabilize their brain. How would you deal with it? Or how would you cope with it? Or how would you address it? How would you take it up?
I might ask for pro bono from the state.
Pro bono for what?
Oh, for that medical treatment. Because maybe I might not be able to afford it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you are like, you are not even concerned about figuring out what it is that he has or what it is that he doesn't have. Because people that are medically bordered, is it bordered? People that are medically written, right? Are people that are not capable. It's not everybody that gets written the letter.
Oh.
It's not.
I thought it was.
As long as you go to psychiatric, you get one, you can't work anymore in your life. Or quatara pensera simply because, or eco psychiatrica. Sometimes, or you go psychiatric, because you can't cope with what is happening in your life right now. And then the problem goes away, and then you go back to normal. Then what? O kwa to penzera, washangwa mumambo kucho ilema, eh?
Aye, those privileges, is going to be taken away from me later on. Once I get to back to my normal.
They don't put you on. They don't put you onto something where you don't have something that is permanent. No. Sometimes you're just stressed, eh? Sometimes it's just anxiety.
Oh,
and you work with your therapist until you get off medication. Sometimes you never even go on medication. And then you want to be medically boarded. But you don't know she must stay at home really because why go psychiatric, huh?
It does not sound good, man.
I think that many of you guys are the reason that people don't want to open up about mental disorders and mental crises, because many of you don't understand what it is and you don't understand the depth of it.
Mara,
you have an opinion. You like having opinions about things that you don't know. That's why you guys can come and say, things like, Kelly, now I'm on Pemas. You're like,
oh, we are already conclude.
You already conclude. And that conclusion is the one that is keeping people in the dark.
Yeah, we already have that the conclusion of confirmation bias. To conclude, I go to
But those are bad manners. Those are really bad manners.
So how is Vintuk lang last month?
Vintuk is perfectly fine.
Ne?
Yes.
That's a long time. I did not make it 10 days.
Alright. Okay, bye, ne. Good night.
Okay.
Alright, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here. With the Matriarch here, because I know that sometimes you guys hear Demetria. It's the Matriarch here on Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about mental health crises within children and how we as parents can go through it. You know, we are talking about everything. And for you that is out there that is waiting for a specific reason, for a specific topic within the topic, for a specific underlining subject, please do call through so that we can address the elephant in the room. Because I think that this is one of the most sensitive and the most heartbreaking conversations that one could ever have. Even though there's a lot of humor around it, even though there's a lot of nonchalant speaking and nonchalant behavior that we are displaying, it is not because we are insensitive. It is not at all because we don't understand. It is not because we don't know how you feel out there, and we don't know what it's like to walk in your shoes. It's not even that. It's because this is such an uncomfortable conversation, because it could be our reality tomorrow. And many of us would like to shy away and hide from the reality that it could be our children tomorrow. It could be our children's children. It could be our grandchildren. It could be our neighbor children. It could be our siblings. It could be anybody. Because it doesn't say it's coming on kwengu iadichode huadiar. There's nobody that ever says, like, I just felt like it was coming, and then the next day I just got crazy. No. Nobody ever says that. Because it doesn't happen like that. It is just large. It is just so complex, right? But yet so simple. It's so complex, but yet so simple. And it would take for you to be in these shoes, right? To understand what is happening. So, if you would like to participate, the number in studio is 083-288-401. I am using my compassionate, my internal voice. I'm speaking to you guys with kindness, because I know that this is a difficult one. It's a very difficult one, especially if you are having your youngin.
your youngin that is maybe, and it's so, there are certain diagnoses or there are certain ailments, right, that are not meant for children, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to children. It doesn't mean that they don't get diagnosed with it. It's just that naturally for the disorder to occur, you have to be a specific age. Like, for example, you have to be 20, and then from 20, that's when your brain cracks, and that's when your brain does this, and then that's when what is developed, and that's where, you know, and then sometimes it just happens to your 10-year-old, or it happens to your 11-year-old, or it happens to your 14-year-old, and you don't know how this happens, and you are going running up and down for second opinions and all of that, because it's very difficult. One of the things that, that is difficult is accepting a diagnosis, especially when the diagnosis is not in your favor. It's not in your favor because, mental. Like, pefe shitakutuane okuno schizophrenia ngao. O shikenation. Hai, o schizophrenia. O inine poporu zirimbari. Opunane audible, opuna, visual. Is it hallucin? Yeah, hallucinogen and audible, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, Maui, tagapopi, nando kwalala, tagapopi. And, you know what is one of the wildest things, or one of the things that I would like to dive deeper into later on in my life is why certain disorders, right, when they come in voices and they come in hallucinations, why are these voices and hallucinations always negative? Why can't we hallucinate kind things? Why is it the brain turning against you? Why is it you have to be frightened and you have to be on last number? Like, why can't it just be like, oh, I was hallucinating chocolates and rainbows and I was hallucinating beautiful things and it was so nice? Why can't it be that? Why does it have to be like, old people that are just coming and then they just pop up in your brain and you are just sleeping and then just pops up like, you know, like, why? And it's such a scary thing. It's such a scary thing. It's such a scary thing. Okay. You can tell if your child might have a mental health issue by watching for significant and persistent changes in their mood, behavior, or social interactions, such as lasting sadness, withdrawal, loss of interest, sleep problems, or physical complaints like headaches and stomach. Now, I never thought that children could have anxiety, but every time I look at my son, the things that he complains about are things that I complained about. And I'm starting to think that, it is. We are definitely going to get that checked up because there might be anxiety there or even something else. But I feel like I'm open to receiving whatever is there when it comes to my children, because that was the one thing I was lacking as a child that was also struggling. I was struggling and it was more of, it must be hidden that you are depressed. Don't tell people what the doctor said. It must be hidden that you are anxious, right? So now everybody doesn't understand why I'm sweating. Everybody doesn't understand why I can't stand still. Everybody doesn't understand why my hands are sweaty. Everybody doesn't understand, even within my own family. They don't understand what I'm going through, and they don't understand what the loud sounds do. They don't understand what the sudden movements do. They don't understand, right? And it's because it's more like parents are ashamed of the things that you have because they don't want to have children that are not normal. And that happens a lot with Black parents. black parents are the same people that don't advise us. They don't advise us to not do anything else. And then when your child goes and overdrinks and becomes an alcoholic, and then later on, right, they get alcohol-induced psychosis and whatever, then that's when you want to start getting a move on. That's when you want to start getting a move on. That's when you want to start, oh no, oh my goodness, let's go, let's help him. Mara, the help should have came long ago. Many of us are leaving our children to fall into the lion's den, and we don't really understand how strong or how weak they possibly are. And that is why we have to pay attention to our children. We have to pay attention to our children and know our children so that we know what they can and cannot face, what they can and cannot do, and let us not break them, you know, because we break them with little things. My son has always been one to be picked on. I think he's picked on because he's smaller in frame and he's shorter in frame. Like, he's smaller and shorter than all the other 10-year-olds. And I think that in itself has caused a little bit of body dysmorphia and a little bit of insecurities within him. His height and his body, you know. And, right now he's talking about, I want to gain weight, especially when he sees now his younger sister, the youngest one, you know, Michaela is packing heat. Hey, oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful is packing heat, guys. She's packing heat in the kitchen. She is eating. I don't know why she refers to her in this third person voice, but it is. So I think that with her growth, it has also caused a little bit of a discomfort within my son's self-confidence, because she's growing and she's big and he's small and he's tiny, and now he has come, he has approached, you know, and he said, like, no, mommy, I want something to help me with my appetite and to eat more, because I'm very thin, and I want to gain weight because I'm very thin, you know, and I've noticed this. And I also noticed that he's starting to stand up a little bit for himself, even if it is in unorthodox ways, because he's always been picked on. So recently, or today rather, today the girl that sits next to him, I don't know, pushed him or something, and he pushed her back, and then it was a whole fight between the two of them, and it was wild. And I understand him so well, because if you teach him that just got out of the bubble of being beaten, right? If you teach him that got out of the bubble of being beaten, right? That he must not beat girls, then he'll still stay in the bubble of being beaten. So me, I'm encouraging, just beat. So you people with daughters out there, our sons will beat your daughters, man. Our sons will beat your daughters, because your daughters are bullies. Your daughters are bullies, and they are tormenting our sons at school. And every day, ne? It is the boy child that's told, don't beat girls. Don't beat girls is a nonsense thing. Don't beat girls is a nonsense thing. Because nobody is teaching these girls not to beat boys. Are boys not people, Anno? Or is it because you people are girl moms and girl dads? You guys don't see. Do you chele check on me? You guys are all like, no, the girl child must not be touched. She's a delicate flower. Mara, if the girl child is beating my son, me at my house, I'm encouraging. Kucha, if she beats you first, you beat her back. Because we cannot have you crying every day. If she beats you first, you beat her back, then you go and tell teacher. After you beat her back, then you go and tell teacher. There must always be an authority in the mix. So please teach your girls, ne? Please teach your girls not to beat our sons, because as we are also tired of having our sons being bullied by you guys, we're also saying, just beat. Just beat Jarera back. Our guys, just beat Alvira back. Just beat Hope and Faith and Blessing back. Just beat Charity back. Because how guys, it's long now. 10 years, it's long now. Guys, it's long. So when issues like that arise, you understand, I'm feeling more privileged to be my children's mother, right? If anything like psychologically happens, you know, I'm feeling more privileged to be my children's mother because I understand the psyche. I understand their experiences, and I'm not going to be a mom that is going to be saying, yeah, the doctor says you have anxiety, but don't tell anybody. No, if we must have a poster, we will have a poster. And for you that is thinking, yeah, but the people are going to tease him. That is why that thought that you're having there, that is exactly why most people want to live in a world where they are pretending it doesn't exist, because you said that people are going to tease them before he even got a chance to be outside there to see if people are really going to tease him or not. And even if people tease him, right? What are they going to tease him on? Not unless we don't understand anything and we have so much to say about a topic that we don't understand. Maybe what we need to do is educate ourselves more. Do you know that 90% of parents that take children to for mental checkups and mental anything under the mental health crisis umbrella have never read up on the child's condition? They have no idea what bipolar is.
Goeie nuus, Imbad nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imbad te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about your babies. Why are you guys not doing research when it comes to disorders of children? Is it because we're kind of just afraid, or nobody really wants to talk about it? Nobody wants to talk about the medication. The only children's parents that I've seen that talk about mental disorders or mental things, right, when it comes to their children, are parents of autistic children. Parents of autistic children, right, they talk about autism, and they also talk about how different their children are. And they also talk about the things that rile them up and the things that don't rile them up. And they really honestly just adjust their whole entire lives to the well-being of their children. I've seen that with autistic children's parents. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm good. What's poppin'?
It's alright.
Alright. So what's up, baby Joe?
Yo, I was listening and I actually stand by you when you say that your son should be blessing whatever that girl is.
Yeah, my dear, Jerera must also just be beaten. How? Alvira, Helena, Blessing, Charity, the mothers just be beaten. Like, what is this? Ow. Girls don't, boys don't beat girls, girls. But the girls are beating. Girls are so abusive.
Because, I mean, if a girl can beat a boy, that means that girl can fight. So, me personally.
Yeah, so let's fight.
Me personally, if a girl hits me, I'm gonna hit her back. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, dengane, like that other denga.
Eh.
Mm-mm.
So I shouldn't be violent. She's gonna be violent.
No. Look, there's a difference between self-defense and other things. domestic violence. So if she beats you, if she slaps you, you slap her back, then you walk away straight up. Then you go and make a police case.
So I shouldn't throw no punches.
Don't throw no punches. Look, there's a difference between you that's like 18, 19, 20, 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a 10-year-old. 10-year-old throw punches, bruh. 10-year-old throw punches. 10-year-old throw punches. Hmm? Because clearly, right, the system is against you.
Mm-hmm.
Straight. 20-year-old you don't throw punches. You slap back and then you go to the police station first. Because you know what happens in the police station, darling, as a man in Namibia. Rule number one, let me as your mother tell you today, and don't forget this life lesson that I'm giving you. Rule number one, the police only believes the one that gets there first. Uvako? Yeah. So the police believes the one that gets there first. So you are not allowed to kick anybody out of your house. She's beating you in your house, huh? You slap her back and then you go to the police station. Then you come back with a police van to come and arrest her. Straight.
That she assaulted me.
Yes. She's assaulting me and she doesn't want to get out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but he beat me up and he what? Like, I didn't. That's why I came to the police. The police believe the one that got to the police station first. If she goes to the police station, you are going to sit because you are a man. You are going to sit. Chisal Khan said. Because apparently people are tired of gender-based violence and men killing women and all of that. Chisal Khan said, but it was her that did you dirty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you slap her back, then you go to the police station immediately.
And what if
then you open a case.
What if she throws a punch?
If she throws a punch, throws a punch, you won't. If you guys are going to beat each other back, I'm not encouraging domestic violence, what here. No.
Yes,
Mara, if push comes to shove and she's aggressive and she's starting to beat you first, ne?
Mm-hmm.
You beat her back, but you make sure that you are first at the police station.
So.
You must be first.
Uh-huh.
It's a race.
I should hit her back and go snitch.
My dear, you go snitch. You are going to snitch because you were just defending yourself.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's good.
You were defending yourself. Yeah. Even a dude. Even if he beats you and you beat him back and then you must always just be first at the police station. With anyone.
Okay,
with anyone in your life. Right?
Uh-huh.
That CR number. Very important. Uh-huh. You must be first at the police station. Because the police believe who comes first.
Okay, man.
Yeah. But I don't encourage you. I don't want you to actually beat girls. If she touches you, to be honest, ne? If she touches you, like, just know that the relationship is over. If she beats you, the relationship is over, no matter what you did. Like, no. But there are some deeper wounds that are worth therapy. Because if you have traumatized this girl and one day she's just so angry with you and she turns around and she just throws punches, right? Because she's angry. There are certain things that you must understand where she's coming from. Not to say that you understand that she must just beat you and you're not the person. No. To understand where she's coming from. But she has no right to beat you. Yeah, she has no right to touch you. Nobody has any right to touch another person. It's not your body.
Word.
Yeah, it's my body. Nobody has the right to beat anybody here. If you want to beat things, go to a boxing gym. Go and do sports that require beating. But you cannot be beating other people here as if relationships give you the right to be beating other people. Even we as parents, right? There are certain ages that we stop beating. Like you cannot be beating your child. Like me, I'm just gonna pull up with a gun.
You gonna pull up with a gun?
I'm not beating my kids. No, I'm a pull up with a gun, bruh. Clack.
Mm-hmm.
Click, click. I'm not doing that. Like, what? You want me, you know, than the dengue ne elu? Like, girl, you want dengue? Nah, bruh. Eh? A 19-year-old elu. And I must be like, yeah, ni la membo. Me, I'm like, I'm just gonna pull up on some old school, Bobby and his whole crew. We set it off like, baby, we will come through. The game got us all shook. Doing what you won't do if you ain't got at least a couple fans, then you ain't cool. Yep.
Wait, like that. So what you're saying is that you know how to handle a gun very well.
No.
Oh?
But they don't know that. I'm hoping that me as the matriarch would have raised good enough people for us to never get violent with one another as parent and children. I'm hoping that we would have a smooth transition into becoming elders and into becoming the parents of adult children. I'm hoping for the best when it comes to mine. I'm hoping for the best when it comes to my children. I'm hoping for understanding. I'm hoping for the ability to listen and to not criticize. I'm hoping, right, for my children to also have a level of respect regardless of the situation when it comes to me and my life choices, be it wrong, be it correct. I'm hoping for the best when it comes to my children. And if I'm ever put in a situation where it is not the best, I hope to God that I know how to handle it with grace and humility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope to God that I am capable of taking it as it comes and also understanding their perspectives and my perspective and the holistic picture as I've always tried to do throughout my life. I'm hoping not for perfect children. I'm hoping for children that know how to articulate themselves with me so that I can understand them. I'm hoping to be their best friend so that when they go through their life challenges, they would never be afraid to come to me so that we can talk about it. Doesn't mean I can solve it. I don't know everything, but at least having me to talk with would be amazing.
Well, at least you'd rather want to have a conversation with them, rather than not having it at all.
Oh, I would rather have conversations. It's only that my children right now, they are a bit annoying, to be honest. Like,
they are annoying.
Yes.
Wait.
What?
First of all, I know that you got kids though.
Yeah, I know. No, I've got children. I've got a gang, a conglomerate
word
of kids. they're irritating. I've got my son that I think has ADHD, so he's always asking questions and he's always up and down and he's always mommy. Like he's always like he's like a hyperactive somebody. He's always got a question. He's always got something, but he's also extremely loving towards me. He loves me so much. Yeah. He loves me so much. I'm like, he's got bestie.
So you actually know that he has ADHD.
Yeah, I've noticed it because he's extremely hyperactive. But then I also think that it might be hereditary. Yeah, it might be hereditary because I had it when I was about his age as well.
So do you still have it?
No. Right now, I think that it could have been something that I outgrew and then I grew into other things. I grew into anxiety. I grew into depression. I grew into other things, but I've not had a test done on ADHD. So I might be an adult that's living with ADHD. I might be, but I'm not too sure. And that's what I'm doing in November. In November, I'm going for tests to see where I stand with my psyche.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, my dad is basically about to finish. You know how it is, right?
Yeah.
So, it's good night for me.
Good night. And did you do well in your academics? How was your year? Can call back tomorrow so that you give me the number so that I call you back tomorrow, okay?
Let me just give you my number right now.
All right. Okay.
081.
Mm-hmm.
37.
Mm-hmm.
36.
Mm-hmm.
243.
243. Baby Jab.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ciao.
All right. Keep listening.
Okay.
Ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're diving into the world of children that might have a mental crisis, might have something that has to do with their brain that we are not accustomed to. An ailment or a disorder or a crisis or a breakdown, whatever it is. How do we as parents handle that? And good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Great.
That's wonderful, Hafeni.
I hope the listeners are also doing great.
I am sure they're doing great. How are you doing, Hafeni?
We are healthy. We are living.
Ne? Where are we out here?
We are talking.
We're talking.
We are listening. We are observing.
Hmm.
And we are referring.
Of course.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Good night.
Where are you? You are at Eagle FM, where?
What is the topic tonight?
Ah, the topic tonight, Hafeni. We are talking about how to handle things when our children have mental disorders of some sort. How do we as parents handle it? And just hold on for me, okay?
All right.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch and Hafeni, the perfume guy. So what's up?
No, I'm doing great.
The intro.
I'm smelling pep, not bush.
This is intentional. Hey, we are smelling good.
Yeah, go.
All right. So we're talking about how parents handle their children having mental disorders. You know how we have spoken about our hierarchy, what we need to live fulfilled lives, and we've spoken about our traumas and our passions and our pains and our disorders, and we've spoken everything about us as adults, right? But we haven't spoken about being on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to your child is now diagnosed with bipolar. Your child is now diagnosed with schizophrenia. Your child is now diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Your child is now diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. Your child is now diagnosed with schizophrenia or whatever.
Yeah.
What happens then? How do we take it from there? And also, like, how do we view this as individuals out there? How do we view this? Or ADHD, your child is now ADHD, or your child has autism, or your child has Down syndrome, or your child has all of this, you know, because it's such a wide spectrum. It's such a wide umbrella when we talk about mental health crisis. And that is why, we have to speak about it until we understand that there are avenues and compartment under mental health, right? Just like there are compartments under cancer. Because when we speak of cancer, it's not just blood cancer. There's more cervical cancer, throat cancer, lung cancer, eye cancer, tumor, brain tumor. There's many cancers.
Okay.
All right. So speak to me.
So, I'm the hierarchy guy.
You are.
I like it. And it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's start there at the base.
Okay.
Psychological needs. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to provide support as soon as the person is diagnosed with a challenge. We need to understand and be able to accept the challenge that we are going to face. And at another point, whoever diagnoses the child is a professional. So they are going to give you procedures on how to handle the situation. First of all, they might give you therapy, psychological counseling.
Yeah.
You as the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you need to come home and sit the family down, the family with you. Tell them the situation. Tell them how you are planning to support this child. So that they don't fall into a shock mode when they also get to know that, okay, they've been diagnosed with this. No. They will learn to accept, live with it, and it becomes normal. I believe there's also people when they look at us, they ask themselves,
is this person normal?
This person has faith.
Yeah.
Is normal. Is he really normal?
Is he really normal, yeah.
Yes. Because of our behaviors.
Yes.
So, there is one commandment, which is the second commandment, the greatest, one of the greatest commandments, and I'll take the second commandment, which says, love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. So if you wanted support in a special way, if you were in that situation, you put yourself in that person's shoes or situation.
Yes.
Then you should also approach it in that way you wanted, or you would have loved it to be approached. Yes. If you want support from your dad, you get the support. But now it's you. Now you are the adult for the child. You have to be there for the child. You need to go to school and tell them, okay, this is the situation, and if you want to navigate it well with him and understand one another, at home, I do it this way.
Yes.
And since it's a challenge, is it because you are not approaching him with cautious or cautious. You are approaching him like normal kids.
Yes.
So you are not approaching him with the challenge that he's having. So you will find it difficult to work with my child. Yes. And then also you now have to compromise some of the routines you used to do.
Yeah.
You have to surrender. You have to weigh them. You have to prioritize and see, okay, do you really have to do this routine or should you put it on hold?
But what will happen to the child if you go to the school and you go and let the people know?
Okay. There is a chance that you might get support from the school, from his peers. And there's also another chance where he might be victimized or bullied.
And we'll never truly know.
Yes. You might not know. Or you will know if the child is open to you. So you have to have an open communication.
Hello, hello. Hello. Hafeni. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking. If you would like to participate in our conversation this evening, the number in studio is 083-288-4001. That is the number in studio. In case you would like to participate in our very, very sensitive conversation, very triggerous conversation, right? Because there is so much we don't know, and there's so much that we have to accept, and there's so much that we have to become accustomed to quickly. One thing that I always encourage us as people, right? Remember that you, the support system, you also need therapy, né? You, the support system, you need therapy also. You need to go and talk to someone to help you help your child. Because it doesn't help you think that you are perfectly fine. But you have to understand that when you give birth to your child, ne? We are all thinking the same thing. So bring a doctor. We're all thinking the same thing. And then something like this comes and hits us and it somehow shatters our little dreams, but it doesn't have to. Good evening.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. What's up? What's up? Mm-hmm.
There was a network glitch there.
All right. It happens with people from Sintabus. Okay. Proceed.
Okay. Okay. So once you set realistic goals, then one thing you must know is that this challenge can really drain you as a parent.
Yes.
You have to exercise. You have to keep busy. You have to have rest enough when there's time to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be too harsh or don't conclude, don't assume. When your child approaches you and says something like, people are treating me weird at school.
Yeah.
No. You have to call the school or you have to go to the school and ask, okay, my child yesterday made this comment.
Mm-hmm.
How is he around the other kids?
Yeah.
Or how does the other teacher behave when they do rotate they are here in schools for different subjects?
Mm-hmm.
How does he engage with the other children when they are at breaks? Okay. So for you to come to a conclusion that supports your investigation, avoid assuming assumptions will bring to you. And it will drain your energy, your positive energy even, because you're assuming. You might even conclude before you have started or ended the investigation. I think that's how far I can really talk about this.
Okay.
Yes. Unless there's something to add.
I think that, okay, so what is going to happen to us now? So if you're sitting there and then your child is diagnosed with borderline something, 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 what is the conversation going to look like? Say now, this is a Vambo auntie.
Huh.
Because it's easy for us to say things like, yeah, so we must inform the family, okay? And we got some listening on now. But let's say hypothetically, this is a Vambo auntie.
Yeah.
It's a Vambo auntie that always checked her child to be special. But she didn't know to what extent. What have you seen happen? Like, in all honesty. Because, I think that one of the things that we do as, especially as learned friends, right? We as people that like to engage in holistic and whole and fulfilling conversations, right? We like to assume that the world is so colorful and the world is so beautiful. But it's not. So what have you seen?
Okay. What I have seen is when people fail to understand the situation, when people fail to understand the diagnosis, or when the professionals fail to simplify diagnose in a layman's language, so I can send it in that way. Now all you do is know your child is diagnosed with this. What is that?
Okuno bipolar?
Yeah, bipolar shiki.
It's two. It's two.
Onu onu a shenge emepo. Taifo kudite nawa, poni mawaka fimbo, ine kupumbo ike nandega. Yes. Singoto katala, kwa ala uli puye, toyolo nae, ilo tayolo nae. Ono tati, ay, ono shapo, ono kwa loa. So, ono, ya, hindi jige? Ya kwata kumundi inaloa ndishi mwishi laule. That is now the assumption that I'm doing, which are ngeike ngeto fekele.
Hello?
Hello?
Ngeike to fekele? How do you just go mute?
I'm talking.
Okay.
The network is not me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, gang, you are saying, how poor, kufamo kufekele, mungamwe o kufekele kufamo iki, gengo wala kupala, unombili, nohole, no, nelandula fano. Yes. Shashi, ngao po iketo duruku ya uninge ukona kone uju au kukweti ilo upetokana. Yes. Ngao kuketokana una umadila dilo amanguluka opupule. Rajakuti wa okupula ulai. Apimekulo langi kulaika. Nyamukulo lige chapua tuteolo li. Anadango katene nyamukulo lino. Chachi, ngeweshi, nyamkulo ngeweli tambulako ilo weli dinda. When you filter the answer,
yeah,
you can also say, okay, this I'll take, this I'll dispose. So, yes, there is people that can treat traditional, there is people that can treat I don't even know why we call it traditional and modern. Okay, maybe modern is because they are using machines. But then, I'll rather say treat physically.
people are tricked physically using our African way.
Mm.
Yes. So sometimes it's the environment. A person just needs a change of environment.
Mm.
Out of the city, the person is coping at the in the forest.
Yeah.
Then it means that's where their comfort is.
Yeah.
So not force them to come back to the city anymore.
Mm.
Try and create the their environment there.
But what if they have to go back to school, guys? These kids also. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I have bipolar. I'm just gonna be here in the village now. Like, there's nothing wrong with you, ma'am. Go back to school.
School? In the village, there's also school.
Yeah, my dear, there's no varsity in the village. Don't play with us like this.
Oh.
Don't play with us. Hey, don't play with us.
Okay.
So the child must just keep repeating grade 10 at the combined school for 20 years or what?
Well, if that's the case now, then when he's at school. But as soon as he comes out, his village, try and take him to the village so he can catch up again. Because that's the only therapy that probably works.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the person. It's just the environment that is too toxic, clustered.
Hard.
Yes.
Or hard to cope with. Yeah. I think that one of our challenges, or one of the things that we must put into consideration as people, is that not everybody can deal with certain environments.
Yes.
Yeah. Some of us find it very difficult to exist in some environments, and it is what it is.
Most of us prefer an environment that looks like a forest.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
clean air.
Yeah. I think our problem is also just over the years we have learned to dislike people. Dislike people. Because people are dangerous. People have proven to be dangerous for us.
People are not dangerous.
People are dangerous.
In what sense are they dangerous?
People are dangerous. People do bad things to other people. People hurt other people's feelings. There's nobody that is hurt by an innate object. It's always just people.
Yes, it takes two to tango.
Yeah, it takes two to tango. But at the end of the day, whether we are tangoing or not, honey, you hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry.
Your sorry doesn't cut it on Biri Aipang. Just like that other time I invited you over. And you didn't come. Judas.
Iscariot!
You see? Yeah. So people are just bad.
Yes.
So sometimes you sometimes
they were just caught up by the time and challenges. Yes. There is people that are possessed to do bad. Yes, those ones, you must be careful with them.
Yeah, we will never know who they are.
No, you won't know who they are.
Mm.
It just has a spirit of doing bad.
Yeah.
There's those that are trying to do good. And those that naturally. I had something like a poem where I say, to do good.
Yes.
You don't need any
You don't need a lot of energy. It flows.
Okay.
Yes. To do good. Mm. The thought of doing something just good. Mm-hmm. It's so, it's just there. It's natural. Mm. To do bad.
Yeah.
If it was a currency, it would be very expensive because you need to drain your energy. You need to think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good will can be compared to light. And hate will be compared to darkness. To be good, you just flow. But if you want to hate, you will be dragging.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
Yes, good comes naturally. Hate is a fake thought because you are trying to modify the good thought. Well, the natural thought that has to flow into a superficial thought.
Well, that one is most just positive thinking, putting positive thoughts together. Positivity must. But thank you so much, Afeni. We're going into our guest lecture tonight. We're going to be hearing about adolescence and then we're going to ground it off. And I think that this week we're going to dive into this conversation a little bit deeper. But thank you so much for participating. Where are you?
I'm home.
At your house?
I'm sleeping now.
Is it raining or why is your network bad today?
No. I don't have katoshe.
Okay, so why is your network bad today? I even thought that you're in the village.
The network is just bad. Yes.
All right, okay. My friend.
Good night.
Good night to you.
Good night to my listeners.
Your listeners. You must come, man. You must come and look for a slot here for December.
December, I'm going to holiday.
You're going to holiday go South Africa?
I don't know.
You are thinking about it.
I'm really going to holiday.
Are you going to a real holiday or a Vambu holiday? Are you going to a holiday or Kefuzo?
Yeah, I'm going to a holiday.
Wazala.
That's a holiday. I don't know when it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe late December.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say it now on radio, but yes. And I want to leave you with this. Whoever is planning to leave their house, especially in Windhoek or anywhere in Namibia, please leave someone behind to look after your place and not come and be surprised with a Christmas gift, an empty house, a New Year's gift, an empty house. All your things has been packed out neatly. And people even took your groceries along.
Yes.
Yes, leave someone behind. Support the neighborhood watch. Please.
Please.
And love one another. Love your neighbor like you love yourself.
What if I don't have self-love?
If you don't have self-love, you need prayers.
Bye, Hafeni, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ciao.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is an uncomfortable conversation, but we have our first, feature for the night. And, please take as much as you can from this particular conversation, because this particular conversation is a conversation that is riling up. And, you know, it's a heartstring pulley. What? Mara, so, ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about mental disorders in children and how we as parents navigate ourselves through it and what exactly are we going to do when it comes to this. So let's dive into it. This is a conversation by very, 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 very insightful people. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership of the clips or the audios that we play on this particular show. We don't claim any ownership. We use them strictly for illustration purposes, for learning purposes, and also for purposes of broadening and sharing a message or information. Okay? So don't go out there thinking like, no, they took the podcast. No, we didn't. We are sharing it with you so that you hear also. Because as we heard it.
I never thought that I would be a mental health campaigner. And like many other campaigners, sadly this came from personal tragedy. For me, it was losing my brother, Ben. Ben was 18 years old. He was the most incredible person I will ever meet. He was a fashion student, creative, talented, utterly charming, and loved by everyone he met. In 2010, he suffered with 3 months of severe depression. Just 3 months. In that time, his mental health really deteriorated. He was sectioned, he was put into an adult mental health unit, and we saw him worsen really, really quickly. We felt the environment was really unsuitable for him. They didn't understand him and they didn't know how to care for him. On the 20th of December, 2010, my brother took his own life. As a family, where Ben had been the light, there was a lot of darkness. It was 2 days before my 17th birthday. I didn't know what had happened, and I didn't know what had happened so quickly. I'm not going to go into what grief felt like, but it was a very, very dark time for our family and one of confusion. A few days later, my mum, who'd been a real pillar of strength throughout this time, got together with our family and said, I want to set up a charity in Ben's memory. We all agreed something had to change. We didn't know how to run a charity, and we worked it out day by day, but we did know that things had to change. We didn't know enough about mental health. Ben didn't know enough about what he was going through, and the services which were ultimately supposed to keep him safe had failed him. We were just one grieving family, but we felt like if we could even make a small difference, then we should. In January 2011, we set up our charity. We muddled through, we learned how to become trustees and keep our accounts and register with the commission, and we built something. All we knew is that we wanted to raise our voice. We wanted to tell Ben's story, we wanted to tell our story, and we wanted
Ritavazende kize imba izwezi pili. Lwekerize mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa hamo chwalo ni mata amskavwa na kare. Kana mwitukiserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye, mufumane lisevelezo zezwezi pili ze kakulifafela mashiri ni alika na $36 million kakweli. Kapa kamikwaye kutesi fafasi ye tatama, 5% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize talu, 10% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize sirela, 25% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize lishumi peri. Muketeri kwerize Movata, Kumukone, Karaki, Kola Zendezo, Imba, Miswalezi, Panachipisa, Imba, Toku, Kanifasi, Kaufela. We pay for the Zaza Imba Kachenu, Kumukone, Kola Zende, Kaufela.
I wanted young people to know about mental health, to be aware of it before there was mental illness. We felt like if we could just help one person in Ben's honor, then we would have done what we'd set out to do. If you fast forward from 2011 to now, 7 years on, a lot's changed. In that time, as a family, we've fought tirelessly and campaigned a lot, and we've reached milestones that we never expected were possible. Alongside that, the national conversation has really, really opened up. Over the last few years, mental health has hit the headlines. There has been extensive coverage of mental health, some good, some not so good. Things like campaigns and documentaries, celebrities and the Royal Foundation have really helped bring it onto the agenda. And it really has helped to smash some stigma. But despite this conversation, the services haven't followed. We're still faced with tragic statistics. And statistics are lives, young lives. In this country, if you're a male and you're aged between 20 and 49, suicide is the leading cause of death. If you're a female from age 20 to 34, suicide is the leading cause of death, above all other accident and illness. And yet, mental health care gets 13% of the NHS budget. And youth mental health care gets even less. And we know how important youth mental health care is. In 2012, the Royal College of Psychiatrists found that 50% of adult mental health issues presented before the age of 14, 75% before the early 20s. So it makes the best sense to pour energy and funding into adolescent mental health care, because not only will you create healthier and happier young people, but you're also investing in their quality of life and their life chances. We know this, and yet we don't do it. Our services are severely underfunded. The waiting lists are terrifying. So we know that we need to fund services better, and we need to prioritize it when we're budgeting for the NHS. But I think we can do better than that. I think we can go further than that. I think we should reshape and rebrand adolescent mental health services and modernize them to actually work for the young people that we're trying to help. The last 7 years for me have been something of a crash course in mental health awareness. I've learned so much, I've met so many people, and I've listened to so many stories. I by no means have the answers, but there's three key ideas that have been shared with me that I really want to share with you, and I think they're crucial to progress with adolescent mental health, from prevention and awareness right through to acute care. The first one of those is branding. Why is a brand so important? Well, for young people, it really is. If we want young people to be getting in touch with services early when they need them, to be talking about mental health before there's mental illness, and to be connecting with this conversation, then we need to be providing them with platforms and voices and services that they want to connect with. In a very small way, this is what we did with our charity. When my mum suggested, let's set up this charity, we all agreed that something needed to change. But myself and my sisters had real reservations. We didn't want our brother's name to become a charity case. At that time, age 16, I couldn't have told you the name of a mental health charity. They weren't even on my radar, and I certainly couldn't tell you one that I thought was cool. We wanted to create something that Ben would have been proud of, that he would have wanted to associate with. So we used his tattoos to inspire the logo and the name. We didn't put his name or the words mental health anywhere on it. And my sisters and I started to create merchandise, make social media posts, and organize events. My parents worked tirelessly behind the scenes, but to the public eye, it was a charity for young people, run by young people. And it worked. We created such a buzz, and whilst our events are fun and sociable, they gave us space for young people to come along and connect and have conversations they wouldn't have otherwise had. Even if the conversations happen after the event, that's valuable. And we know that this works. Authenticity, real stories, and good branding. Nothing speaks to young people better than those things, in my experience. And you can see it with online influencers. They're taking over from traditional marketing with the younger generation for a good reason. They provide authenticity. They're channels that young people can trust, and they like it. A few years ago, when a female vlogger put up a video talking about her panic attacks and anxiety, it was groundbreaking. It got 4 million views. Recently, rap and grime artists who are male have spoken out about their mental health. It had an astounding reaction from young men across the country, and they're supposedly our hardest demographic to reach. And this is because they're role models, they're people young people want to aspire to and want to associate with. So when they step forward and say, I'm going to talk about my own mental health, I'm vulnerable, me too. For some young people, that's life-changing because they've never heard that. And it gives them strength through stigma. We know this works, and we know this works nationally, and yet we constantly get told young people don't want to hear about mental health. They don't want to engage in conversations about it. I say wrong. It's just that it works when it comes from channels and voices and people that they like and know and trust. That's how we can start a proper conversation. The second thing I want to talk about is about how we brand and shape mental health and how we frame it. We still interchange the words mental health and mental illness constantly. They are not the same thing. We all have physical health and none of us deny it. And we don't change that with physical illness. Yet with mental health, we are always talking about mental health issues or well-being and separating them, when in actual fact, there's a complete scale. I find the concept of a scale as being the most useful concept we've had, or I've heard, to use with young people. And the reasons why are clear. If we all have a scale of mental health within us, it empowers you to know that you can move up and down that scale. There is a scary amount of young people that think if you get a diagnosed mental health condition, then that's it. It's a black and white line between a mental health condition and being perfectly well. And that's just not true. There's so many shades of grey and an entire scale. It also allows young people to think about the fact that if they slightly move down the scale, they might need some coping mechanisms. They might need support networks. They might need to go and see a doctor. If they move further down the scale, they might need medication or professional help. And all of these things are okay. It's just that it's within a scale. You won't be there forever. Recovery is possible. And there are so many ways to become proud of your journey. The diagnosis did not define you, and everybody is somewhere on that scale. It's also really important to then stress what we mean by mental well-being within that scale. We're not trying to aim to be right up here, euphorically happy every day, bouncing out of bed. It's not a reality for anyone. Mental well-being is about being able to experience a whole range of emotions and coming back to a middle ground. And that's what we try and instill when we chat to young people. And it's so much more achievable than this idea of happiness, which is different for everybody. The other thing that's really important about the scale is that it encourages us to be proactive. We need to start thinking and talking about mental health long before there's mental health issues. We talk and read about physical health all the time, and we all take preventative measures, some more than others, to look after our physical health. We even teach it to children in school. We get them to do PE lessons. We get them to eat 5 fruit and veg a day, to have a balanced diet. And we do those things so that they know how to look after their physical health. It won't ultimately stop them getting a serious physical illness, but it will give them a better chance at wellness. And we can do the same with mental health. We can teach young children at school coping mechanisms, relaxation techniques, stress-busting techniques, resilience. We can get them aware of their mental health so that they can talk about it and seek help early. Now, some say it's too young. Why would we bring the conversation at that age? Well, I disagree. If 50% of adult mental health conditions are presenting before the age of 14, then we cannot afford to wait around. And the final thing I want to share with you in how we can really rebrand and reshape mental health is actually recognizing adolescence. And it sounds obvious, but the divide between under-18s and over-18s, the legal line between a child and an adult, stops us thinking about the whole category of people from the early teens to the early 20s. When you're a 17-year-old, on your 18th birthday, you don't magically become an adult overnight. Nothing changes. But in the eyes of the law and in the eyes of mental health services, you do. And the care you receive is very different on the other side of that line. I want to encourage thinking about adolescents as a whole group. They are a unique category of society. They face a vast array of social pressures whilst they're navigating a very difficult developmental period, physically, mentally, socially, emotionally. And we know that the brain doesn't stop developing until the early 20s. So why aren't we recognizing adolescence more? Why are we expecting 19 and 20-year-olds or 18-year-olds like my brother to receive adult mental health care when in fact they're still struggling with the pressures of adolescence? Our young people today arguably face more pressures than ever before. Added pressures like social media, information overload, early exposure to things online like sexualized content and violence, drugs, alcohol, body image pressures. They're facing a lot, and yet our services don't match that. We don't know how to navigate these challenges, and the best way forward to do that would be to listen to young people. It's surprising when you work within mental health how little young people are actually listened to inform services to look after them. It's ironic. And whilst we need to increase capacity in our current services desperately and we need to fund them, I think we can go better than that. Why don't we innovate? Why don't we use technology? Why don't we find new platforms and use new platforms to speak to young people and create creative solutions? We need more help and more support that suits them and to be platforms that they want to engage with. There's such a kind of opportunity to innovate and to lead on this and not just repeat what we've always done. And the best people to lead that would be young people. They know the challenges they face. They can give you insight into the struggles. And they're also technologically savvy. They could lead the technological revolution of mental health support. And yet we still don't give them credit for that. We should be embracing the chance to reshape and rebrand adolescent mental health. I personally think that we can do better than we currently do. If we really were to rebrand adolescent mental health from prevention right through to acute care, we would be prioritizing it. We would be innovating. We'd be embedding it at an early age, and we'd be empowering young people to own their own mental health and to look after it. I don't have all the answers. I'm just one girl who lost her brother who thinks that better should be done. I know that Ben deserved better, and I believe that we can do better. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Woo, what a powerful conversation. And it is true. We like to umbrella things. We like to umbrella things, put them all under one category. It is the same. It's the same. It's the same. It's the same. And we also don't look at the adolescents. We don't look at the adolescents. We don't look at the children. And sometimes, right, we have to look at issues deeper than the adult phase. You know, you're 18 now, you're supposed to be big, you're supposed to be what, you're supposed to be what, while we're still struggling with the pressures that came with adolescence. And that is why I keep telling my children, I think I tell them so much that it is engraved in them, kuja, in life, when you commit to something, just go inside, do what you have to do, and let everything sort itself out, let everything fly, let everything happen slowly and gradually, and eventually all will be well. But this conversation in itself is a difficult conversation to have, because it is a conversation that is unimaginable to many of us. It is a conversation that we don't want to participate in, if it is a participation that is involving our households, our people, our children, our youngins. It is a difficult conversation because it's for other people, not for us. And it's just like any other bad thing that is out there, or any other thing that is classified as bad. It's for others, not for us. Ah, no, that one is those people, those other people, those other people, up until it happens to us, and then we don't know how to deal with it. But for those that are soldiering on, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the fact that you wake up every day and keep soldiering on with your youngins, and keep soldiering on with the differences that they might have. I applaud you for it. And for those that are opening their eyes today, thank you. Thank you for accommodating this conversation for as long as you did. And I will see you again on the flip side tomorrow. And au revoir.